Welcome to the podcast of the Student Christian Movement. SCM is a community of students, past and present, and it is community that is at the heart of who we are and how we do things. Based in the UK, our vision of SCM is as a generous community, expressing a lived faith in Jesus Christ where social action meets prayerful devotion. We seek to be both a radical voice for equality and justice, and a safe home for progressive Christian students. Everyone, and welcome to the second SCM podcast episode, which today we're going to be talking a little bit about some of the experiences that myself and Phoebe, the new Faith in Action workers for SCM, had while we took part in the last leg of the peace pilgrimage from Oxford to London. We walked from Parliament over to the Excel Centre in London to protest the DSEI arms fair. So welcome, Phoebe. Thanks for coming on today.
Well, thank you for having me.
It's good to be able to have a chance to chat. So I thought it'd be good, first of all, since this is the first chance really we're able to introduce ourselves, like through the means of the podcast, if you wanted to give a little bit of background to who you are, your background in activism, your involvement with SCM and the position that you've just taken up, and your personal faith as well.
So in terms of my kind of background in activism, I've just finished studying applied theatre and community drama. So my kind of roots in activism have been through using theatre and writing plays to inspire social change, but also working with a lot of different community groups to kind of build projects together, to kind of have that sense of community to oppose anyone trying to break those down, because I think a strong community is one of the best ways to be a successful activist, as it were. And I found myself going through community drama because I'm a Quaker by background, so I went to a Quaker school, and there we spoke a lot about equality and a lot about that of God and everyone, which was always translated to that of good in everyone. So through my work in theatre and community work, I've always tried to bring about something positive from bringing lots of people together and finding that of good in everyone. And that's kind of how I then found my way to SCM, being a Faith in Action worker as well.
Yeah, and so your role is specifically as the activism faith in action worker, or social justice faith in action worker, which is very exciting, and I'm looking forward to being able to work together on a lot of the projects, and I can't wait to share it with a lot of the SCM members and tell them about what we've got planned for the year ahead. For myself, just for anyone who is not aware, I am the theology and resources project worker as part of the Faith in Action project. And my own background in theology is really that I've been raised Church of Scotland, ended up in an evangelical church as a teenager, was hurt by that and ended up not in church for a long time, but still very interested in theology, and found my way back to the Church of Scotland through the Iona community and ended up studying theology again. So I'm just going into my final year now of theology and religious studies at the University of Glasgow, and on part of that journey have became a member of SCM over the last few years and been involved in the Glasgow group and applied for the Faith in Action role for theology and resources. So yeah, there's lots of exciting things planned for the year ahead, but on our very first day together employed by SCM, we were asked to take part in a peace pilgrimage in London, which is a bit of a baptism of fire for any job, I suppose. But Phoebe, do you want to maybe share a little bit about why you think protesting the arms fair was a necessary action? Like, what is the DSEI arms fair? Why is it important that we protested it?
So the arms fair is a place where people go to trade and sell arms, and it's based in London. And the reason I think it's important to and necessary to protest it is because I think we need to break down this idea of the kind of business of war. And we can't escape the fact that people are making money out of the best ways to kill people. And I mean, you can justify that in terms of defence or however you want to rationalise selling weapons. But the reality is, I don't think there can be peace when money is being made from war. And the loss and ruining of lives cannot be prevented by supplying more means by which to kill people and bring about violence in that way. And in kind of like, if we're going down the kind of Quaker route, Quakerism is very based and rooted in peace. And Advices and Queries 31 makes it clear that war, and importantly, the preparation for war, which I think selling arms comes under, doesn't align with Christ and those teachings. So I think it's quite key to try and break down the idea of making money from ruining people's lives. I think it's quite a good moment actually to draw on one of my personal favourite pacifists, Doctor Who. And the Doctor draws on the fact that all wars are ended by people stopping violence and stopping killing each other and finally talking. And he says, and I quote, this is Peter Capaldi's Doctor, "When you fire that first shot, no matter how right you feel, you have no idea who's going to die. You don't know whose children are going to scream and burn, how many hearts will be broken, how many lives shattered, how much blood will spill until everybody does what they've always going to have to do from the very beginning, sit down and talk." So that's why I think it's very important to have a protest rooted completely in peace against a trade which is rooted completely in violence.
Yeah, and I think the point that you made about the connection with making money as a result of it is really important, especially when you consider the fact that this was Europe's largest arms fair ever this year. There were 2,800 arms manufacturers present at it. And when you consider the fact that the UK government invited 8 countries to attend that were on their own human rights watch list, you realise that this isn't actually about military alliances. It's not actually about what they will communicate as their own kind of agenda, but really it's about the priority of making money from war and from death. So, and also it exacerbates the crises that we try and deflect from here in the UK, especially like the refugee crisis. We see that this sort of event is creating the very situations that the UK government just responds to by saying something as simple as stop the boats, which is harmful. But I don't know if you have anything else to comment on that.
Yeah, actually, I went to a Quaker meeting in Liverpool last weekend, and on the wall of the meeting house, which I think is quite apt to bring up now, was a poster, and it showed the cycle of the refugee crisis, and it had at the top, it had the UK government selling and supplying weapons to countries that inflict war, which means there's more refugees. So the refugees come to the UK and the UK say they're not their problem. And it was a really good kind of cycle and poster to show that the UK government are turning away refugees who are coming to us as a result of the UK's actions. It was a really, really good poster.
Yeah, and as part of the action, it wasn't just a protest. Obviously, we had the vigil at the end of the day outside of the actual Excel Centre, but it was a pilgrimage and part of a wider group of people that were taking part in a peace pilgrimage from Oxford to London. So for you, what is different about a pilgrimage compared to a regular protest or march?
I think the thing that was felt most different for me was the kind of the power of the silence that we had together. I mean, particularly in the hustle of London, where you've kind of walked through the really busy streets, there's quite a lot of action going on within the Excel Centre where the arms fair is. To then come out to have stillness and silence is a really powerful thing. And I think you don't often imagine silence in a protest. You imagine like shouting and banners and that kind of thing. But I think in holding a silence together, you build a really strong community. And I think also in the pilgrimage, when we were kind of walking to the vigil, you would stop at different spots and meet different people and chat to different people along the way. And you're building, albeit it might be a small community, but you're building community along the way. And I think when you're building those small friendships and able to stand together where the powers that be would rather tear you apart, I think that's a really powerful tool. And to hold that silence together was kind of the pinnacle of that community that we'd made.
Yeah, definitely. I would agree. Obviously, this podcast, what we're trying to do and what we will hope to do throughout the year and all of our events and work that we'll be doing with SCM is providing space for us to reflect on what it means to be a Christian and what it means for that faith to be in action. So how do you personally reflect on this in your own faith practice? What does it mean to you to reflect on your faith in action?
I think for me, faith in action is kind of what it says on the tin, but it's hearing the words that you hear maybe on a Sunday morning or read in the Bible or your advice and queries, whether you get your words from, it's hearing them and moving beyond just being a passive listener and becoming someone who actively puts those words into action. So moving what you're told inside the church, outside of the church walls. So not just listening about love, but enacting it in every part of our lives. And if I may, I just might read Advices and Queries 27, which says, live adventurously. When choices arise, do you take the way that offers the fullest opportunity for the use of your gifts in the service of God and the community? Let your life speak. And I think it's that bit about letting your life speak and doing work throughout your life that does what you say you want to do or say you believe in. So you believe in love, so you make sure you're actively doing things which encourage love in others and in yourself.
We hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. At SCM, we are passionate about equipping the church with the resources needed to make it a more welcoming and inclusive space, especially for LGBTQ+ people. Recently, alongside One Body, One Faith, we have published a resource for churches who want to take a step further along the journey of LGBTQ+ allyship. This resource is called How to Be a Good Christian Ally and is the first in a series called Affirming Christianity. Rather than debating biblical verses that cause disagreement, this short course seeks to offer ways to explore the idea of allyship in the Bible and as a church, as well as to learn from LGBTQ+ stories. You can purchase a resource available for small group discussions at movement.org.uk in our resources section. The next course in the Affirming Christianity series is expected to come out later this academic year and is focused on progressive evangelism. But for just now, let's get back to my discussion with Phoebe. And how does reflecting on that impact your own journey of discipleship and faith? So if obviously after the event and after you've taken that moment of action, does then thinking about, contemplating on those events, praying about those events, have a discernible impact on the way that you live going forward? Does it change the way that you engage with that issue in any way? How does it actually play out afterwards, I suppose? Because sometimes when we go along to these events, these protests, these pilgrimages, it can feel like a real high moment where afterwards it can kind of feel like you're just getting back to the monotony of every day. But how do you take the momentum and the power of a moment like sitting in silence in front of a center of militarism and war, taking that power from that silent moment and implementing it into your daily walk, your daily journey, your own personal pilgrimage with Christ, I suppose?
I think when you hear the term faith in action, you can sometimes think that action has to be a very forward, you've got to be doing action. But I think creating space for after an event like that where you can reflect and think about going forward, the kind of stuff that you want to do in your life and the small changes that you want to make, is one of the most important bits of doing action, having that reflection, both in like kind of what you can do yourself, but also how you can help and influence others. And I think some of the most powerful action you can do is to have a conversation with someone. So even I got back from the pilgrimage and spoke to my housemates about it, and they didn't know about the arms fair. And then we had a conversation, and then they did. So you're educating others through a conversation, but also in that conversation, you're having the chance to reflect on yourself and think about what you can do going forward as well. And that's what I think is really important.
Yeah, I would agree. I, just after we got back, was interviewed by the Magnificast and was asked to speak about the arms fair. And in preparing for that, it actually made me think a lot more about the significance of it and how it actually plays out in day-to-day life and what I can do going forward. So sometimes, as you've said, just taking the time to have a conversation with a friend, with a minister, with a spiritual advisor or director of some kind in your life about the action that you've taken can be very influential in how that is implemented in your life going forward. But part of our roles for the year ahead is to reflect on the theology and life of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a pastor in Nazi Germany and had a lot of very interesting writings. But thinking about Bonhoeffer's opposition to the Nazi party during World War II, what does it mean to stand for peace in a time of war? And how does it relate to us today when we campaign for peace?
I think one of the hardest things to wrap your head about around is the kind of idea that war is always present in history. Like it was present with Bonhoeffer in World War II, but it's played a part in the human race before and since that time as well. So to remain positive and continue standing for peace in a time where it seems leaders and businesses are becoming more and more powerful can be, I think, one of the hardest hurdles to overcome. But one of my favourite singers, Grace Petrie, has a brilliant song. And in it, one of the lines says, "If I spend my life on the losing side, you can lay me down knowing that I tried." And I think the idea that trying for peace is one of the most effective things you can do. And I think it's important to see yourself kind of like as a chunk of a longer fight, which is why I often turn to that lyric, knowing that if you know you spend your time on a side that doesn't seem to be winning, at least you know that you've tried and you can see yourself as a small step in the right direction. And like with the Peace Pilgrimage, building that community and remembering that of God and that of good in everyone can make it a lot easier to remain hopeful. I think in remembering that of God and everyone, it's easier to create a dialogue and an understanding so that we can all work together for peace. It's less about kind of two sides against each other, and we can better move into one community working together. And I think that's the kind of the ideal of what you'd want. But remembering to stay positive and peaceful in a world where it seems that war is winning can be really hard. So I turn to that lyric and I think I am helping the next step and the next activists.
Yeah, and I think that idea of seeing God in everyone and keeping that at the forefront of our minds really echoes some of Bonhoeffer's own ideas about not just loving the idea of community, but loving the community in front of us. That the people that are actually in our lives, that when we learn to practice seeing God in those people, it can really help us with the practical elements of loving the people in front of us instead of just the idea or the ideal of community.
Yeah, completely. I think that of God and everyone is something that was very present when I was growing up in my Quaker school, but it's something that I hold on to quite a lot moving forward, because particularly when you're working against something as, you could say, evil as the arms trade, remembering the humans behind that and how we can encourage good in them instead of seeing them solely as a villain can be quite a positive way forward, although a very difficult way forward.
Yeah, definitely. It reminds me of some of the words that Bonhoeffer shared in The Cost of Discipleship, and this is a fairly lengthy paragraph, but I'll read it out just now. It says that the followers of Christ have been called to peace, and they must not only have peace, but make it. And to that end, they renounce all violence and tumult. In the cause of Christ, nothing is to be gained by such methods. His disciples keep the peace by choosing to endure suffering themselves rather than inflict it on others. They maintain fellowship where others would break it off. They renounce hatred and wrong. In so doing, they overcome evil with good and establish the peace of God in the midst of a world of war and hate. Hearing those words, how does that relate to the peace pilgrimage and your own pilgrimage of discipleship?
I think the small bit about overcoming evil with good is quite an interesting place to start for me, because I think the contrast of opposing violence with peace is a very good way and a very powerful way to move forward. Hence why I was so keen to draw attention to the community we made, but also why I'm so keen to use community and community theatre to move forward for a more peaceful world, because often war works and violence works and is won through breaking down communities. However, by joining together and joining together in silence or in an event or something, you know, building those relationships with other humans, we're more likely to be successful in ending violence. And I think also the thought of Bonhoeffer of making peace is an interesting one, and one that I'll have to reflect on further. But what does it mean to have peace? And I think in the silence we held, you could definitely feel peace being found, and you could feel a sense that people were coming to peace maybe by themselves or hopefully influencing others in the peace that we held. But it's an interesting thought to think, how can we make peace further, if that makes sense?
Yeah, definitely. It's something worth reflecting on, but I think they've all been some wonderful contributions and reflections that you've made throughout this episode on it, and it was a delight to be able to take part in the pilgrimage with you, and a great way to, I suppose, to be introduced to each other in our new roles. But thank you so much for coming on for the second episode of this season, and you'll be making appearances kind of throughout the season going forward in conversations with other SCM members and activists and the work that you're going to be involved in. So thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you very much.
We hope you have enjoyed today's episode. As always, you can find us on TikTok and Instagram at Student Christian Movement, or on X at SCM_Britain. Next week, we are joined by the Reverend Dr. Jennifer McBride, who is the president of the International Bonhoeffer Society. We will be discussing her book, The Church for the World, A Theology of Public Witness. The book is based on Bonhoeffer's ideas and explores what it means for the church to offer a non-triumphal witness to the Lordship of Christ through repentant activity in public life. Thanks again for listening, and have a great week.